This morning, I invite you to consider two journeys and their one destination. The first journey is ours, the spiritual path we are all on. And the old gospel hymn says it so beautifully, we are marching onward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Our pilgrimage is marvelously portrayed in John Bunyan's 1678 classic allegory of the Christian life. This is its full title, The Pilgrim's Progress from This World to That Which Is to Come. And this classic depicts Pilgrim's journey filled with temptations and struggles and hardships of all kinds. It is indeed a long and winding road. Indeed, a long and winding book. Yeah, right, Margaret? Finally, Pilgrim comes to the mountain range where he sees light shining off the clouds. And Pilgrim is not sure where the light is coming from. And like Pilgrim, we too have to ask, where is this light coming from? But we must first scale the cloud-covered peak to see the source of that light. Only then do we have confirmation of our faith. Only at the very end of the journey, it is confirmed that the light is shining from the New Jerusalem, the beautiful city of God. We do not know for sure until we get to the mountaintop. That's called, for those of you who like these kind of things, eschatological verification. When at the end, we know for sure. Now, that's the first journey I want you to consider. Our journey from baptism through all of our life to the grave, which then ensues in eternal life. Our destination, God willing, is the New Jerusalem, the beautiful city of God. Now, consider the second journey, God's journey down to us. Our text in Revelation describes the descent of the New Jerusalem to make its home with us. There's only one person in the book of Revelation who goes up to heaven, and that's John at the very beginning. The New Jerusalem comes down to us. The city of God descends to us to be Emmanuel. Thus will be fulfilled the angel's promise at Jesus' ascension. This Jesus, whom you've seen taken up into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go up to heaven, grace abounding, grace descending. Then and only then are we fully and finally God's own people, transformed and renewed. Our journey fills us with all kinds of things: anxiety, struggle, sorrow, momentary joys, boredom, defeat, distractions, small victories, relapses, despair, elation, confusion, in short, the ups and downs of our lives. Our journey leaves us with countless bumps and bruises. Ask any one of you who has lived a long life. The original readers of the book of Revelation had seen it all. They had seen persecutions, hardships of all kinds, and official opposition. They lived in fear because of a government turned demonic, the Roman state that had become a beast. Now, God comes to us and meets us on our spiritual journey, and the two roads converge at a single destination, what Teilhard de Chardin called the Omega Point. The Omega Point is where God is reunited with God's people. And here, finally, we see face to face in the beautiful city of God. Here, God wipes away every tear. There is no crying, no death, no pain, no grief. There is no sea, no primeval chaos, no haven for the beast or the dragon, those mythological opponents of God. The terrors of the sea, the behemoth and the leviathan, have all vanished. So all the burdens of our lives have been lifted from our shoulders. All our sorrows, Lord, soon be over, as the old spiritual says. Here in the presence of God, who provides a balm of Gilead to heal every wound from the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. And around the river of life is that tree of life whose leaves bring healing for all the nations. So God comes with healing in God's wings and declares this, I make all things new. God replaces the old city that stones the prophets and crucifies the Son of Man. God presents a new Jerusalem, utterly unlike Babylon and Rome, so filled with pomp and circumstances and violence. A new Jerusalem, adorned like a bride, pure and spotless. What eye has not seen, will see. A new heaven and a new earth. Now God speaks and utters this divine affirmation. Write this because these words are true and can be trusted. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To anyone who is thirsty, I will give drink from the water of the spring of the water of life. Gosh, that's a great line. From the river of life flowing from the throne of God, we are promised living water that wells up into eternal life. Well, this is a magnificent picture of life eternal in the beautiful city of God. And this picture will be filled out later in the chapter with streets of gold and gates of pearl, a city four squared, encased in precious jewels. And this picture differs radically from other pictures of life eternal. Think of visions of green pastures or Elysian fields or the Isle of the Blessed or Mount Olympus or paradise revisited in the garden. No, this is a city, an urban delight. It is Babylon and Rome purged of its evil and made pristine and pure. This is really not back to nature. This is onward to the city of God. This new Jerusalem is filled to overflowing with God's children, all of God's children. In God's house, there are many mansions, many rooms teeming with the communion of saints from every nation. And in that beatific vision, we will see God face to face. And in the light of God, we will see our sisters and brothers, perhaps really see them for the first time as beloved children of God. In this land of fadeless day, the throne of God is surrounded by countless angels and archangels, a vast throng singing God's praises continually. That's why the choir is so important. You remind us of our destiny. For those who want to walk in the garden alone with Jesus, this heaven can wait. For those of you who think that hell is other people, and for those who would be absorbed alone with the alone, this heaven will not do. If you desire to join people from east and west and north and south and sit at table in the banquet of the Lamb of God, this heaven is for you. And for those of you who wish to join the everlasting choir, to cast your crown before God, lost in wonder, wrapped in praise, this city is for you. Paul Johnson is a renowned English historian from the Roman Catholic tradition. He wrote a wonderful spiritual autobiography entitled The Quest for God. And in a chapter entitled The Timeless World Waiting, he analyzes how theologians and artists depict the world to come. Think Dante and Milton, etc. Writers are usually much better at describing hell than they are heaven. Why? Because, as Johnson suggests, it's easier to depict suffering than ecstasy. We have all suffered, some of us too much. Few of us have experienced authentic ecstasy. So Paul Johnson tries his hand at describing the ineffable that is heaven. Listen to his imaginative vision. I have a perfect visual memory of an ecstatic moment, part real, part reconstruction. It is Paris on a warm, clear spring day in the early 1950s. I am 21, and I am escorting a beautiful woman. We are on the left bank, and we have just sat down at a table on the lovely terrace of an outdoor cafe. We are across the street from a magnificent church building. And at the table next to ours is Jean-Paul Sartre. He has ordered a glass of wine. Soon he is joined by Simone de Beauvoir and miraculously by his former friend, Albert Camus, with whom he is now reconciled. The singer Juliette Gréco, looking as beautiful as ever, is sitting at another table. Suddenly, there's a flurry as the young Brigitte Bardot, still a schoolgirl, scampers in, twirling her satchel in her hand and twirling her hat on the other. It is a perfect visual memory. No waiting, no overcrowding, no anger, no arguments, no drunkenness, no boredom, no hangovers. A magical moment, infinitely prolonged. How's that for heaven? For Paul Johnson, Paris in the springtime of our lives is almost heaven. But for him, really, the essence of heaven is love given in plenitude. God gives us love. And for the first time ever, we are in a position to receive it fully and undiluted. Purged of all human limitations, we reciprocate God's love. God's love. In that moment of embrace, we are granted ecstasy, which is timeless and eternal. That is the timeless world waiting. The world that awaits us, brothers and sisters, can be experienced even now as foretaste. It happens when two or three are gathered in the name of Christ. It happens when sisters and brothers love one another, really love one another. It is a hint of the world awaiting us. It is a glimpse of heaven, an intimation of immortality. Those moments of shared love draw us toward that beautiful city of God. My friends in Christ, when we love one another deeply and fully, it is almost heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen.